Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just am so thankful for what God is doing. I want to be right smack dab in the middle of it, don't you? I said, I want to be right smack dab in the middle of it. When Christ comes down and kisses this place, I want to be in the middle of His smack. Glory to God. I am so thankful for the love of God. Can I just share with you some things this morning that I want you to realize and understand that God has something extraordinary and extra special for you. He said in His Word, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the mind of man the things that God has in store. And when we hear that passage of Scripture, we claim it as what He has and get it ready for us there in heaven. And it's so awesome and magnificent. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. But God has things right here. He is breathing from a throne room of God inside of you to bring your gifts to life, to give you a fresh and new anointing that you might be charged with the power of the Holy Ghost to go forth, to set forth what He has for you to do. Isn't that totally awesome? In the book of John, St. John chapter 14, I want to leave a few moments this morning. I instructed our kids' church leaders to bring the kids over about 10 minutes till. We want to gather around them. I don't want to just pray over them. I want to plead the blood of Jesus over them. And our kids, as they head out to school, I think beginning Tuesday, I really want to pray over them and plead the blood of Jesus over them. Before I get into this, I meant to say this just a while ago. Brother Heston, Sister Danielle, in our camp meeting convention Thursday night, was ordained. He is now an ordained minister. Would you just give him a hand clap of appreciation? If you don't have a clue what that means, there's a lot of time, a lot of work, a lot of study goes into that. Brother Heston, Sister Danielle, we're very proud of you for that accomplishment, but more than that, we're just proud of you. And we thank God for you. But if you have your Bibles this morning, and I will try to expedite things, and if I don't get through all of it this morning, I'll try to save some of the hay for tonight. But I want to share with you, and I hope and pray that what you sense in my heart and in my spirit, that you will grab a hold of it and you will embrace it, that God's doing a new thing in your life and He has something prepared for you. He has promised that. So in John chapter 14, verse number 1, it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Somebody say, "I will come again." "And I would have told you, but I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. How many is familiar with the initials HGTV? That was kind of low when I know much better. How many is familiar with HGTV? You ever watch House Hunters? Yeah. How many hasn't a clue what I'm talking about? Hallelujah for those that don't. It's amazing how that these different people look for their particular home in just exactly what they're looking for. Some, depending on what part of the country, is in $100,000, and some of them get to own their own island, and they ask them what their budget is, and they'll say somewhere between $2.3 and $5 million. And then they take those folks on the tour, and they find different pieces of property. Stay with me for just a little bit. I'm going somewhere, okay? And I want to take you with me. And these people that have a $2.3, $5 million budget, they take them into these homes, and it never fails that with that kind of a budget, they'll look at the house and they'll go, "I really don't like that. Well, the kitchen cabinets are not really what I want. Well, I don't like the fireplace in the side of the house it's on. And man, the bedroom is 40 by 40 and it's not big enough. I remember one episode where these folks was looking for a smaller house to put their parents in because they was retiring and they needed some place. They wanted them close. And they looked and looked and looked and they couldn't find. And in these people's backyard was this huge old barn. It was probably this size, except maybe even a little bigger, and a lot huger roof on it. And they decided that they would take that barn and they would rearrange it and they would remodel it, put a floor in it, take out the horse stables out of it, and put bedrooms inside of it, and it just become a gorgeous place. And so that little 1,200 square foot little house that the parents was going to live in turned into be like a 2,600 square foot barn with an apartment or a attic or something like that, a huge room upstairs with a window looking out toward the mountains in Montana. That was just gorgeous. You'd have had to have been there. But it seems like to me that in every scenario, in every situation, there's something or a part of that house or a part of the property that they just didn't like. And the expenditure sometimes was low, or the budget, and sometimes it was high. But there in John chapter 14, he tells us, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He did not dictate what his budget was. But can I take you all the way back to when he told Moses on the backside of the desert, I am that I am. And that being interpreted, whatever you have need of, that's what I'll be. If you have a $1,500 budget, or if you have a $15,000 budget, or a $150,000 budget, or if you have a $10 million budget, I'll be what you have me to be. Now we're talking monetary things here, but God goes way past monetary, right? He goes way past monetary. So he tells us, and I like the idea as he tells us basically that the budget that he has to prepare you a new home is endless. Hello? It's totally endless. His budget is so far above what we can think. Instead of putting concrete or asphalt on the street, he decided to put gold. Instead of using cinder blocks and filling them with rebar and concrete, he decided to put jewels in the foundation. So I just come by to encourage you today to tell you if your plans for a house is beyond comprehensions, I just come to tell you that when you're a child of God, that place is being prepared for you while I'm speaking this very moment. He said, because I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so we fast forward to the book of Revelations chapter 21. And the writer there, John, said as he was on the Isle of Patmos, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven, the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, and we can't comprehend this. The power and the glory and the awesomeness of God. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. Aren't you glad we're going to be able to dwell with Jesus forever and forever? I've heard people say, oh, if I could just sit down and talk to Jesus face to face. There's coming a time. I said, there's coming a time. He will dwell with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The whole process of my thoughts, and I sense I'm not going to get there today, and I may get to finish it tonight, But I'm just telling you that there is a whole new dimension of heaven that we can't comprehend in our finite mind. But Jesus said in John 14, John recorded that Jesus was going to prepare a place for us. John the Revelator in chapter 21 said, "This is the place that I saw coming down out of heaven unto God, and God will live with him, man, and man will live with him, and we were going to join together with him." And then if you go in to the rest of that chapter, in chapter 22, you'll find the glorious things that He has prepared for us. But I want you to know, before this message is over, sometime between this afternoon and some tonight or next Sunday, I just want you to know that God's got a place prepared for you. But I want to tell you of all the glorious that God has prepared for you. But I also want you to know that we're on a journey. Can somebody say amen? And I want to tell you how to get from here to there while we're traveling through this world. Don't think I'm going to get through it all today, because there is a glorious happening that's transpiring as we talk, as we speak this very moment. There's transpiring. I give you just a little bit the other night, and I sense that perhaps some of you are not as intrigued with the dimensions of that city perhaps that I am. Perhaps some of you, it's not as intrigued about the description. You just say, I just want to get there. I want to get there too. But while we're getting there, He give us some insight of the blessing and the glorious things that He has put in that city. How awesome. We used to sing a song, "Just a cabin over in the corner of Glory Land." If you're satisfied with that, bless you. I said, if you're satisfied with that, bless you. I'll be praying that God gets you one over there. And you have to go outside and draw water. Come on, somebody. Preach with me for just a little bit. I'm excited about going to the city I'm going to. I said, I'm excited about where I'm going. Number one, and I know that it paramounts beyond anything and everything else, that Jesus Christ is the King and the glory that we're going to worship forever and forever. But there was some reason that He give us a description, that He give us to let us know that He has paid the price for what He has done for us, and we're going to enjoy the blessings of God forever and forever when we get there. For some of you that perhaps wasn't here, I just want to give you the dimensions of that city real quick, and then I'm going to move on. But the city is four squares, 12,000 furlongs in all directions. That's about 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles tall, and 1,500 miles long. That's over 2 million square miles just on the first floor. I said, that's over 2 million miles just on the first floor. And each story, if it's a mile high, that'd be 150 stories. I don't know how God does it, but He's going to do it, and there's going to be a blessed place. Can I tell you that God loves you and God cares so much for you that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he that endureth to the very end shall be saved. And His reward, He said, I'm bringing back with me. That's the new heaven and the new earth that's coming back to Him. He is preparing for you a place that is beyond comprehension. And can I tell you, think about it. If every story was a mile high, that'd be 150 stories, and I ain't going to go into the rest of it. But the description of that city, the dimensions of that city, is only a starting point to the awesomeness and the unique features. Somebody say unique. The unique features that the city has to offer. The city itself is holy. Glory. I said the city itself is holy. The chief characteristic of that city is its holiness. A holy city will be the one which absolutely no sin of any kind, any shape or form, no sickness or disease will ever darken its gates. No sickness or disease or sin will ever go down the streets of that city of any kind, of any degree. It is a holy city where a holy God resides and where a holy people will take up occupancy. Can I tell you today that in that city that He is preparing for us, he describes to us as John gives him, Jesus gives him the revelation there, gives him that revelation. There's 12 gates. Each gate is a solid pearl. Can you imagine? We scramble, and if I had some pearls about the size of a marble, there would be some ladies in here clawing the carpet up off the floor to get to it. Well, maybe not while anybody was in here. But that 12 gates, each gate having a solid pearl. As we enter, we will be reminded. As we enter that blessed city, we will be reminded the only reason that we are there is because of the great suffering and the pain that our Savior took for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. In Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 5, can I ask you the question, do you understand when we walk through the pearly gates? We think about its majesty, we think about its glory, but when we walk through the pearly gates, can you imagine why we would be reminded of the great suffering and pain that our Savior took? Can I just tell you today that a pearl, a jewel, is made with inside that little animal that crawls on the ocean floor that is wounded. If it was not for that grain of sand inside that little oyster, there would never be a pearl formed. So with that being said, that jewel, that pearl that is formed, is only formed because an animal that was wounded took on a grain of sand that irritated it and caused its pain and suffering that pearl might be formed. Can I tell you today, church, the pearls of the great city, the kingdom of God, is because of the King of Kings was wounded and was bruised and was beaten for our transgressions that we might know what it is to enter into the pearl. Gates. The foundations of that city is made up of 12 layers of foundations, made up of all kinds of elaborate jewels, and you can find all the names there, and I couldn't pronounce all of them anyway. I just come to tell you that the foundations of that city, God chose not to use cinder blocks, but He chose to use the precious jewels. He is preparing for you the very best. Can I tell you, God sent the very best to die for me and you, and He's making the very best that you and I might enjoy. To who that overcomes, to Him that overcomes will be blessed in the kingdom of God. We are overcomers today. Can somebody say praise the name of the Lord? Can I tell you, He has chosen to put the precious emeralds and jewels of that city. In Hebrews chapter 11 and 10, it says, having foundations whose builder and maker is God. How awesome it is when you watch HGTV and you see the different people going different places. And I often wondered how in the world, when they get to a particular site, particular building place, how they get down to the bedrock when there's already on a rock, or they're building in a place by the ocean to where it's miles deep before they ever get to a bedrock. But some way, somehow, they get a foundation established where they can build a house upon. And in many instances, in many situations, that house cannot stand because of the circumstances of the storms of life that comes its way. And the Bible tells us that a wise man will build his house upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. A foolish builds his house upon the sand. I'm here to tell you today that the house that God is building for you is built with elaborate emeralds and jewels that has 12 foundations. And I'm here to tell you it's going to stand throughout the eternity. Can I tell you another description, another dimension of that city that we're getting ready to go to? How many's excited and it'd be all right if the Lord had just come today to take us home? The Bible tells us very explicitly that He is paving the streets with pure gold. Can I tell you that what man desires down here, and you've heard me say it before, you've heard others say it,
What man desires down here for the beauty and the wealth, God has chosen to pave the streets of that new city, Jerusalem, with pure gold. Can I just tell you a little bit more that what man can refine down here is pure gold? Has a yellowish color to it because they can't get all of the impurities out. But can I also tell you that the God that I serve has refined that gold to a purity to where it's transparent glass and color, and you can see right through it. Can I tell you that God don't do things half well or half way? Can I tell you that the God that I serve is more than enough? Can I tell you when He fed the 5,000, it was more than enough? Can I tell you when He preached to the multitude, it was more than enough? Can I tell you when He touched the blind man, it was more than enough? Can I tell you when He touched the crippled man, it was more than enough? When He cast the demons out of the man, it was more than enough. Glory. You ain't feeling this like I'm feeling this, or you'd be shouting all over this place. I'm fixing to go there. See, I just want to see Jesus. Bless your heart, I want to see Jesus too. I want to see Him more than anything else. That's why I'm so excited. He built me this house with an unlimited budget. Oh, glory. And so I come to you this morning to let you know that there's no watches in heaven. The lights of that city. So what kind of power grid will we find in that new city, Jerusalem? None whatsoever. No power plant, no substations, no generators. For Revelations 21:23 tells us the glory of God will be its illumination. Somebody say illumination. Oh, glory to God. It will be our illumination, for the Lamb is the light of that city. What a power source, and what such illumination from God's glory. I said from God's glory, from God's power. And there's not going to be any need for any sunglasses to be worn, because we'll be in our glorified bodies worshiping and praising a glorified God. That is, that we can sing hallelujah, glory to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And then there's the tree of life. The tree of life. And Revelation chapter 22 verse 2 tells us that in the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Tree of life. You remember that God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree of life, because the day that you do it, your knowledge will be gained and you'll be like one of us. Well, can I tell you, this time it's going to be different, because there was the tree of life which bears 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of these trees are for the healing of the nations. The leaves are good for our health. The fruit no longer is forbidden. Listen. Oh, man, this ought to get a hold of you and shake you till your teeth rattle. So the fruit is no longer forbidden. You know why? Because we are now have passed from death unto life. My, hallelujah, hallelujah. Aren't you glad Jesus is going to be there? And then there's the river of life. How awesome it will be to share in this river with all who gain entrance into that city. What a blessed, glorious time. It is so glorious, no contamination. No longer is there any sin, disease, contamination whatsoever. And how glorious it will be as a river of life transcends from the throne of God. Can I tell you that one can drink in it, and from the same time one can plunge their feet in without worrying about any contamination? Hello? Every major city in America or in the world basically has a river running through it. Yet there is none whatsoever. Every big city I've ever went through, I've seen those rivers running through it. They're dirty, they're muddy, they're ugly. There's factories built all alongside them and they're contaminating the river. But can I tell you, there'll be nothing contaminating this river. And I can tell you that there is no river in this entire world or universe that can compare to the river of life that is totally pure. And can I just share with you that its origin proceeds out of the throne of God. I said its origin proceeds out of the throne of God. So I ask ourselves the question, how is it that I can become a resident of that city? I like to watch those shows where they build houses, where they find the houses of their dream. Well, can I just tell you, I just read to you the house of my dream. And I want to know how I can become a resident of that city. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I just come to let you know that in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, "And there is no name under heaven wherefore men must be saved." In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9, it said, "Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God raised Him from the dead. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can I just tell you today, I come to give you the antidote. I come to give you through Jesus Christ. He has done all the work to give you a deed to the entrance to that city. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He has delivered us from the power and the darkness and redeemed us through His blood, Jesus Christ. So if the Lord willing, tonight I'm going to preach to you, how do I become a resident of that city? It's where the rubber meets the road, church. We either is or we ain't. We're either for Him or against Him. We're either saved or we're lost. Ain't no middle ground. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I just want you to know there ain't no stopping place here, but I got to. I'm going to ask all of our kids to come. As they're coming, how many lift your hand and say, I got to go there. Talking about heaven. I got to go there. I don't want to miss it. Amen. All of our kids, our teenagers, come on. All of our school kids, not just the church kids. All of them. All you guys. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Kindergarten, junior high, high school, college. Ain't this a great bunch of kids? Church, I want you to come up here and stand behind them. And I don't want this to be the only day we pray for them. Y'all pull up real close. Come on, real close. Make room. Come on. This can't be the only day. These kids are facing things like we ain't ever faced in our life. The God that protected us is the same God that will protect them. I don't know how, kind of push your way up here closer. Somebody touch. Make sure every one of these kids can touch. Y'all may want to spread out a little bit, but give some other people some room. We're one big family, okay? Got your right guard this morning. We're going to forgive you. We're just going to get close. Thank God for air conditioning. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for our kids? Let's pray right now. Pray, plead the blood of Jesus over them. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we love You. We appreciate You. We thank You, Almighty God, because You are our Savior and our soon coming King. You are our Keeper. Father God, You promised in Your Word that which we commit unto You, You're able to keep from that day. Whatever may come, whatever may go, whatever culture changes, I pray, oh God, that the blood of Jesus Christ cover these kids, these young people, that You will cover them with Your your presence, Lord. We feel the hedge around about them, and I pray, God, that you will be with them. Your anointing, your spirit, Lord, that they may be a witness in their school. Lord, that we lift them up to you, O God, that they may become that witness, and they may become, Lord, even to their teachers, Lord, that they'll bring conviction and power to their teachers and their school system. God bless you. You're dismissed.